had rain yesterday across the state, but in 1909, February was the month of one of the region's largest snowfalls on record. On our Images of the Past segment for today, Bill Hoskins joins us to talk about the blizzard of 1909. Bill Hoskins is the director of the Old Courthouse Museum in Sioux Falls. Bill, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Good afternoon, Lori.
We like to talk about snow in South Dakota, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
So let's just start with the story of how this blizzard arrived. How long did it last, and what did it leave behind?
Well, the blizzard of February 8th and 9th, 1909, is one of the big snowfall events. I think it's the second largest snowfall recorded in Sioux Falls. It really is something, a storm that swept across the West. As residents of Sioux Falls were bracing for it, where they were getting reports from Nebraska and Montana, and you really get the idea. It spread across Nebraska to Montana, and heading our way, and a lot of temperatures plummeting to 20, 30 below zero, high winds, and it really broke here on a Monday afternoon and continued with high winds and snowfall until early Wednesday morning.
How did people get word that it was coming in 1909? Where were they getting their news about an impending snowfall?
Well, that great invention called the telegraph is really spanning the West, and the wire services are providing information to newspapers ahead of the storm of what's happening out to the west of us.
So how much snow did it leave behind?
21 inches of snow was the recorded amount of the storm, but it left drifts that were 8 to 9 feet deep in some of the streets in the city.
Can you give me an idea of what downtown, for example, downtown Sioux Falls, looks like in 1909?
Well, that's a good question. There's some great photos on the website that show downtown Sioux Falls, and that's one of the reasons this snowstorm is so interesting. It's because there were photographers who went out in its immediate aftermath and really documented the snowfall amounts and along the way the buildings in the community. And so you get views down Phillips Avenue and Main Avenue and 6th Street right out here in front of the Old Courthouse Museum, and even up 9th Street. It was a little bit different city. It's a city before urban renewal of the 1970s, so there's quite a few large buildings in downtown Sioux Falls.
Anything that we would see today that we would recognize in those early pictures? Can you get your bearings when you look at those photos to say, this is where it's at?
The old courthouse museum.
Perfect.
It's still here.
It's still standing.
A lot of the other buildings aren't that are featured in those photos. It was a city primarily of horse-driven vehicles. Huh. That's probably one of the most astounding things is you didn't have the big snow removal equipment that we do today.
Sure.
And so this huge snowstorm really just shoveling the sidewalks was all with shovels, manpower, and then they'd load it in wagons and haul it away and dump it on the river. But clearing the streets was a much lengthier and more labor-intensive process than it is today.
So what are the consequences of that kind of snowfall for the citizens during that time if they don't have contemporary snow removal procedures?
Well, there are stories of people in bobsleds and cross-country skiing and snowshoeing to get different places.
How about getting supplies? Is that something they would have stocked up on and been prepared for anyway?
Well, the storm didn't really, it shut down railroads, and the railroads were sort of the main means of transportation out of town at the time, but it only shut them down for a couple days, and the railroads had some new, fancy new rotary snow plows. We would call them snow blowers that they used to clear the tracks. And so they were able to do that pretty quickly. And so people probably didn't notice any real lack of the essentials on the store shelves.
Did anything change in the community after this event because of lessons learned during the blizzard?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, it was probably the winter of 1908-1909 was one of the bigger snowfall seasons that's been recorded. It not the largest by any means. I think that's still the winter of 1968-69. But they had over 50 inches of snow that winter. So I think people by February were pretty braced for the continued snowfall.
How long have these records been kept? So when we talk about this being the second largest sort of snowfall event in Sioux Falls, how far back do those records go?
Well, I believe the late 1890s is when the National Weather Service started consistently keeping records in Sioux Falls. There's sort of the anecdotal or stories of local legend of storms that came before. And certainly there's enough snowstorms here that we always have the next one to talk about.
Let's talk about maybe one of those other ones. Give me an example of another famous blizzard in South Dakota.
Well, I always grew up hearing about the Armistice Day blizzard in November of 1940. Oh, that was the Armistice Day blizzard. It was horrible. And actually, it's one of those where it was horrible winds and it was cold, but there wasn't that much snow. Only a couple inches of snow really created those blizzard conditions.
Oh. And see, I always think of Little House on the Prairie and the long winter.
Well, and that's another one going back, but it's almost anecdotal because there's no official record keeping of how much snow that really was. That long winter started in mid-October of 1880, and the last snow was at the end of April in 1881. So truly a long winter.
Well, we're already on our way to spring, I think, aren't we, Bill?
I sure hope so.
Bill Hoskins is the director of the Old Courthouse Museum in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. He joins us today from Sioux Falls. Thanks, Bill, for joining us.
Okay, thanks, Lori.
That is our show for the day. We hope that it served you. I'd like to thank all of our guests, Lucas Lynch, Secretary of Agriculture, Lim Bun on Chinese New Year, Jonathan Van Patten on Justice Antonin Scalia, and Bill Hoskins. Thanks as well to SDPB Steve Zwemke and Chris Loffrey. Tomorrow on Midday, do you have a secret? Frank Warren has heard millions of them. He's the founder of the ongoing community art project, Post Secret. Since 2004, strangers have been mailing him postcards with their anonymous confessions. The Post Secret show is coming to the Washington Pavilion. Frank Warren joins Midday tomorrow. We've also got the Dakota Political Junkies on deck for tomorrow, and the Case School of Music joins us to talk about a day of percussion. That's all coming up tomorrow on Dakota Midday. Meet me at noon Central, 11 Mountain. For SDPB Radio, I am Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.